Hi, this is Michael McConaughey. I'm the voice of Vampire Hunter D and a lot of other things. I've been very fortunate in being able to be a whole lot of different people in my career. You are listening to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast, and you better enjoy it.
Hello, welcome to the Vampire Movie Minute Podcast. I'm Kaylin Cicchini, the host of Fangirling, a rewatch podcast of all things Creatures of the Night. And I'm with the host of this podcast, Dr. Chris, covering minutes 90 to 95 of From Dusk Till Dawn.
Hello, thank you for coming back on the show to cover these 5 minutes of the movie, which I thought was the end of the film, but I was completely miscalculating on the time of the film.
Yeah, no, we still got a little bit after this.
We start these 5 minutes with our gang of vampire killers, all four of them looking like total badasses, and it ends with Scott getting killed. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Out of all four of these, which one is your favorite of the four remaining vampire killers?
Good question. I don't know. I like different things about all of them for different reasons. I don't know. They're all well written characters that, like, you know, yeah, I know George Clooney's character is sort of the anti-hero, but I do like him.
Yeah, he's not a piece of shit like his brother.
No, gosh.
And he does have that great line at the end of the movie. He's like, Kate, I may be an asshole, but I'm not a fucking asshole.
True, yes. I think that sums him up pretty well.
Do you want some company on the road? No, you're like 17 in jailbait. Absolutely not. However, in the TV show, you remember what happens to him, right?
I kind of don't, actually. It's been a long time.
He says that. But then he turns around and says, all right, Kate, get in.
Oh, yeah, no.
But they don't fuck. That never happens. No, I just think he's probably taking her under his wing because he feels responsible for wiping out her family.
Which I could see that, too. I mean, it is sort of like, I mean, no, we're not covering these minutes, but it is sort of like, okay, bye.
It is his fault, yeah. All right, you go home now, back to your preacher little town. And
hopefully
gonna...
you know how to get there, because there's no GPS.
He does give her
GPS.
Some money. Yeah. Like, do you remember you just drive straight back to, you just drive north. You're in Mexico, so you drive north. You're in America. Unless Trump builds his border wall, then you're trapped.
Well, this is a little before then.
So these guys look like total badasses, and this is where I'm listening to the commentary, and you know, they're really pushing them back out into the bar, and this is where Robert says that we only had like 9 suits, and everyone else is like cardboard cutouts. You can tell in the background there's people just standing still, not moving, and this
is
where they also
anyway.
I
was fooled anyway.
Yeah. And this is when Clooney yells out, kill them all!
Right.
Now, they also talk about, Quint says that these vampires seem more like zombies from an Italian horror movie and not the vampires that we're used to. And at the time, Robert Rodriguez had said there were supposed to be 10 vampire movies coming out in the next 3 years. And he thinks only 2 came out, one of which was Blade. And right. I'm trying to remember what other vampire movie came out in the late 90s, because let's face it, other than Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, and then Angel starting in 99, the vampire genre was kind of dried up in the theater other than Blade until Underworld would come around in 2003.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to think, too. I'm like, I don't really... There wasn't a Dracula movie because that came out in 92.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I can't think of one.
Yeah, I mean, I should know, but I don't. There was
blood... I should know.
Well, I do this podcast.
Right.
And there was Blood and Donuts, which I think came out like 98, 99.
I don't even know what that is.
It's about a vampire who wakes up from like a 30-year slumber, and the first thing he does is go to a all-night donut shop and meets a girl there and starts falling in love with her. All the while, his ex-flame realizes that the guy who turned her is back or whatever, and she plots a revenge to kill him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a
maybe
it's,
that was it.
hard to find DVD, let's just say.
Yeah. Well, I've never even heard of it, so there that tells you
that. So we get Sex Machine comes back, and Fred Williamson as well, and they've both been turned into vampires, and Sex Machine gets his head ripped off by his own whip, which, by the way, this is the whip, if you ever meet Tom Savini at cons, he usually has. And when his head gets ripped off, we get one of the most disgusting scenes of the film.
Yep. It's very gooey. I'll say that. Ugh. Yeah.
Fred Williamson scene is also pretty gross.
Yeah. I mean, this whole... It's very violent, which, obviously, but, like, it's very... A lot of goo. It's not exactly blood. It's not exactly... It's just... Ugh. It's ugh. That's what it is.
It is. It definitely is. It definitely seems... Hold on one second. There's too much loud... So when Scott throws the, one of them throws the condom filled with the holy water, the vampire's head explodes. Great KMB effects studio shot. It's all real practical effects, gory as hell. And then we get the unfortunate turn of our preacher.
Yeah. And it's very subtle at first. 'Cause you're like, oh, they're not attacking. Oh, I see.
Yeah, they're not attacking, and he doesn't. What does the preacher remind you of as a vampire?
I don't know, but I don't know. I have to relook at it and kind of. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, all the vampires sort of look very different. You know what I mean? Like everyone's makeup isn't the same. Like, you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and pretty much all the vampires have the same bumpy forehead and, you know, same fangs and stuff. But these vampires, some of them are a little more advanced than others. Some of them have thicker necks than others. Some of them, I don't know.
The preacher looks like the devil.
Oh, that would be a turn, yeah.
That's exactly what it reminds me of, because of the fact that, you know, he was a preacher, so his right. Vampire makeup looks like a devil, and poor Scott and the vampire and the preacher has to die, and then poor Scott gets taken down, and Juliet Lewis is like, oh my god, you know, right. And she's been badass with the crossbow the whole time. Kind of reminds me of a certain vampire slayer that's on TV at this time.
Yeah,
which that show was running that show started what, March of 96.
I think it was 97, actually.
I thought 97 was the season 2.
Oh, you might be right. Well, the first season was only like half a season.
Right, but it started late, because late in the television schedule, because the CW had just really, not CW, the WB was still so new with a lot of their content.
Yeah, I could have sworn it was... I'm going to look it up for you. I'm like, I should know this off the top of my head. It was... Yep, March 10th, 1997.
Okay, so I remember seeing the advertisements for it saying, a new show coming to the WB, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
And I'm just like, ooh, wait, like the movie? You know what I mean? I didn't even need a trailer. It was just like the like in the graveyard, right, or something like that? With the trailer for this movie, you never get the sense it's like a long drawn out story to a vampire movie. But
no,
whole...
in fact, I was just talking to my co-host about this, because I was saying I was going to be on this podcast, and she saw this movie in her 20s, had never heard about it, and was just cold watching it with someone. And then once the vampire showed up, she's like, oh, this is a vampire movie.
Yeah, it takes a long time to get there. And the reason why is because Quentin Tarantino wrote it that way specifically to make you care about the characters more when right. He finally kills most of them off. And he does kill most of them off. Of the five main characters, let's just say. And, you know, introduces right. Other characters that become kind of main characters, side main characters, like Sex Machine and Fred Williamson's character. I think that's a really good idea, and he bases that on Stephen King's Salem's Lot.
Mm.
There's a lot of buildup in Salem's Lot. Right. Any of the versions of Salem's Lot. These are the goriest 5 minutes of the film, in my opinion. What did you think?
Is it gorier than the first bar scene? I thought that was pretty...
yeah, I guess so. But that was just a lot of mass slaughter, so... And I don't know. Some people prefer the gory fighting, blowing up, gut-wrenching, rat-infested stuff compared to just the montage of titties, titties, titties.
I think I prefer the monster fighting to nudity, just because I can be a bit of a prude that way. But... I mean, with the earlier bar scene, it's, you know, they're killing humans and this is killing monsters, and the killing monsters doesn't bother me as much. So I don't know, but they're probably matched in gore, but it's still very gross. It's still a lot of like guck.
Definitely, definitely. And we say goodbye to Scott and the Preacher, and we're left with George Clooney and Juliette Lewis for now until we get to the end of the movie. Rest in peace. I do appreciate you coming on the Skull with me.
Thank you for having me.
Where can people find you?
They can find the Fangirling podcast pretty much anywhere you can stream podcasts, or on Instagram, it's at fang.girling, or my author Instagram is at thekaylin.
Awesome. And you can find me over on my regular radio show, Radio of Horror, or pick up my own vampire novel, Vlada, A Dracula Tale, where we gender swap the entire cast of Dracula in a unique spin on a classic gothic literature. I don't consider myself to be a feminism. I didn't write it with any kind of political aspirations in mind. I wrote it because it was a cool idea nobody had done before. And that is the God honest truth for anyone who ever asks me about it. It wasn't about gender equality. It wasn't about transgender equality. It wasn't more than anything than other than vampire women are awesome, in my opinion. So that's why I wrote it, and it's kind of like the reverse, where the heroines have to team up to save the guy. That's why I wrote it, because I thought that would be cool. So I digress. I always get asked that question. People are just like, did you write it with feminism in mind? I'm like, no.
I wanted to tell a good story.
I wanted to tell an awesome story with sexy vampire women in it. And FYI, there's more sexy vampire guys in this book than there are women. So, and someone's like, there are? I'm like, the Lucy, Luke character, and the three brides are the three husbands of Dracula. Oh, and yeah. They're like, oh. So there's just Vlad as a, like, the only sexy vampire in this. And I'm like, yeah. There could be only one, like Highlander. Thank you, everyone. Leave me 5-star ratings on any you ever have been listened to. Leave 5-star ratings on her podcast as well, or send us an email at radiofar@gmail.com. Thank you. Dead man.